Welcome to Learning to Glow, a show about wellness, skin health, and self-development. I'm your host, Jess. I'm a mom, entrepreneur, and skincare expert. I'm so excited to share tips on how to achieve healthy skin and bring amazing guests in the field of health, fitness, aging gracefully, and personal growth. Let's explore all different ways we can take care of ourselves as women, both inside and out, to truly shine. So let's get glowing. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Learning to Glow. I have a really exciting episode for you today. Our first ever interviewee on the podcast is back. Her name is Courtney Fletcher, and she is with Courtney Rose Acupuncture. Courtney is an acupuncturist who also does holistic skincare and microneedling. But today I had her come back because I wanted to talk about buccal massage. Some people say buccal and some people say buccal. So just keep in mind that we're talking about the same thing here. It is a topic that I've seen all over my social media and online. And I wanted to have Courtney on and share what the benefits are to this procedure because she now performs it in her practice. And it's technically called the sculptural facelift. And so she really breaks down why we do it, what are the benefits. And I love how she talks about skincare because it's such a holistic approach and it's amazing. So I can't wait for you to hear what she has to say about that. But of course, we talked about so much more in this episode, including acne, how what we eat affects our skin, some really great tips on digestion, because that's one thing that if we are having trouble with our digestion, a lot of times we will see that in our skin. If it is in trouble, we can definitely see a lot of different problems ranging from eczema and acne and more. So we have some really great tips on digestion. We did talk about Botox and why she is not a huge fan of it and what you can do instead. And, you know, this is not to judge or shame, but just to bring some awareness to things that a lot of people don't know about. It was such a great episode. I cannot wait for you to hear it. And thank you, Courtney, for coming back. Loved having her. Let me know what you think of this episode. You can always do that by leaving me a review on Apple or Spotify. And don't forget to make sure you're subscribed on whatever platform that you currently listen to your podcast on. If you have friends that could benefit from this episode, make sure to send it their way. I know I will be sending it to my friends who have kids that have been dealing with acne and teens and tweens. So definitely some really good takeaways in this episode. Thank you for all your support. I appreciate you guys and enjoy Courtney. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Learning to Glow podcast. This is so exciting because I have Courtney with us today. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
Courtney, you were episode 2. So you were my very first interview. It was such an amazing episode. I was so grateful for you that you came on the show. You also shared like some of your amazing friends and they came on the podcast. So you're very special. Your episode was so popular that it still ranks up so high in all-time downloaded podcasts. So You are an acupuncturist, and we talked back then about how you can use cosmetic acupuncture to help look revived and glowing and beautiful. And so we're going to talk a little bit about all of that and some other fun new things that you do in your practice. But first, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and welcome back?
Thank you. I'm so excited to be back. Yes, like you said, I'm Courtney. I've been studying acupuncture, practicing acupuncture privately for almost 10 years now. And then, you know, including schooling, I'm coming up on 15 years, which sounds like it's weird to even say that stuff. And yeah, I fell in love with doing the cosmetic portion of everything probably about like maybe 6-7 years ago, something like that. And it really just started off with me being a girl and like, ooh, this is kind of fun. Like, let's see what we can do here, you know, and really being somebody that wants to try to stay with as much natural, non-toxic stuff as possible, you know, whether that's, you know, cleaning products around the house, beauty supplies, any of that kind of stuff. You know, it definitely piqued my interest when I started to learn about cosmetic acupuncture and what that could do. And then more recently started looking more on like just diving deeper into like the muscular manipulation that you can do in the muscles in the head, neck, and face and how that like all really pertains to how we age. And that, like, you know, when you start to think about it, like the, we, you know, we'll go and exercise and we'll work on our biceps or our quads or our glutes, you know, and do that kind of stuff. But we never take time to really like stretch out the muscles in our face or like really on like the front side of the neck or anything, like maybe a pinch in yoga, but you rarely have like a focus on those kind of things. So I've really started just kind of geeking out on that, that kind of stuff. And it's been really fun to dive into like another aspect of what like our little community likes to call aging gracefully, because it's definitely, we don't like to put the label on it of anti-aging, because it's not a bad thing. Aging is not a bad thing. We've got to embrace
it's so true. I know. And it's so hard to, you know, as someone who's been in the beauty industry for a very long time, anti-aging was a category that we definitely, that's the term, that's what we use. And a lot of times you still see it because people know what it is. And it's easy to, okay, anti-aging, that means it's going to work on my fine lines and wrinkles and things like that. But yes, it isn't, of course it's not anti-aging, even though we could argue that like in our culture, it is very anti-aging. Like we're hiding from that. But I love the wording of aging gracefully and still doing it in a way that, you know, we feel good, we feel confident. And I love what you do too, because it's not only like, are we not harming ourselves, but mm-hmm. there's health benefits to what you're doing. And like, what a fun side effect is that you look more youthful at the same time. So yeah. A lot of what you just said and what you've been geeking out on recently with the muscle manipulation and all of that, I really want to talk more about that, because I don't know much about this. I know that I've been using tools on my face, and I love the analogy with the gym too, because yes, we do exercise our body, but then we like stop. I love that I've been seeing people talking about this a little bit more. So I cannot wait for you to break this down for us. I thought we would start with, we need a little background, and we need to talk about why we're doing what you're doing and why it's so beneficial, especially for aging. And so I think the best place to start, and we talked about this before we hit record, I'm like, I think we need to talk about what fascia is.
So the very short way of putting it is that fascia is a connective tissue. So plain and simple, it's just something that's in our body that connects one thing to another, kind of like, you know, like tendons or my ligaments. I'm like, what is the word? My brain. Yeah, like tendons or ligaments. I had a little brain fart there. But if to get a little deeper with it, if anybody, and this might get a little much, but like if you've ever, you know, pulled apart a chicken or anything like that, you know, for my cooks that are out there, when you do that, you can see that kind of very thin white tissue that like makes a little noise too when you go to pull it apart. And that right there is the fascia. So it's the thing that like holds all of our muscles together, helps to hold our body together. It's this very kind of fibrous but thin tissue that runs throughout the entire body. Very, very important, and one that I think has kind of been more like, you know, kind of more of a recent, semi-recent discovery of, you know, or being more recognized in terms of just like anatomy in general with stuff. Yeah.
So when it comes to our face, how does it play a role in our face? Because I know like with the muscles in our body and the fascia in our body, that could be something that can that contribute to like muscle soreness and things like that. And like, what would it do when it comes to our face?
So with our face, the muscles in our face are different than the muscles in the rest of our body. So a lot of them, some do connect to like the bones, and, you know, like as we're talking here, like we're using muscles to be able to move our jaw up and down and all that kind of stuff. But then we have muscles of expression as well. Another form of fascia that is in our face, and that one is the superficial musculoapponeurotic system. So it's quite the mouthful with that one. But it helps with holding those like floating, quote unquote, floating muscles in the face, holding them into place. So if that type of fascia or our regular fascia starts to get, you know, a popular term is like adhesions, or starts to like atrophy and get kind of malnourished and tight, it's going to pull the muscles with it. And those muscles are attached to the skin, because the skin is the way that we show our emotions. And so that starts to pull the skin and shows those signs of aging. It's a very interesting thing that like, once you start diving into this stuff, that you're like, oh, we're straight up just doing like musculoskeletal work in order to get any of the results that we need to get. It's like, it's very interesting.
So basically we're able to manipulate those muscles, or maybe the fascia that – is it more the muscles that we're manipulating when we're doing this type of work on the face, or is it
– It's both.
It's both.
Yeah. Okay. You definitely – they're all connected together, so if you can't work on one and not work on the other. It's all smashed in like this little interconnected like spiderweb network in your body.
Okay.
Yeah. So you're definitely working on both, like one feeds into the other. And
you know. One of the things that you were talking about earlier was you are doing a new type of treatment in your acupuncture center, and it's called buccal fat massage.
Yes. So yeah, buccal massage, which the man who I trained with, I've got to give him major credit, Yakov Grishkovich. He would be mad at me for calling it buccal massage, but I use those. I'm like, sorry, Yakov, I'm sorry. I use that term because it's more popular. So like we were saying with the anti-aging thing too, like it like makes my tongue like when I say that, but it's what people know. So the term, like what I'm actually doing is called sculptural facelifting. So it's a series of movements that are done on the face to help with manipulating the tissue of the face, so like the muscle and the fascia and that kind of stuff, to help reset it, restore it, get it nourished, remind it that like, hey, this is where we want to be. I know you're over here, but let's go back to, you know, where you were when you were a kiddo kind of thing. So yes, I have to make sure that I put at least the correct words out there.
That's perfect. And that gives a visual too. So it's like helping to be lifting. And I'm sure this will also help with like other signs of aging as well.
Absolutely. Yes. So, and what's nice with this type of technique is that, like, you know, obviously the main thing that we're focusing on is more of like we're talking about today, like the fascia and the muscle and that kind of stuff. But as we were saying earlier, everything's interconnected. So it's actually working on the fluids that are in the face and the lymphatic system as well. So if we have any like puffiness that's going on, or like bagging under the eyes, or any of that kind of stuff that's, you know, from water, not from fat distribution in the face, that's going to help majorly with that. So it's like, it's crazy even with like one treatment, you know, these ones are best done in a series. But even with one treatment, like you can see when people walk out of there, they look like they just got the best vacation, best nap. Like they're just in this like glowing, like there is nothing that could be wrong in my life state on their face. Like it's so, and internally as well, because I do include the acupuncture in with it at the end. So we're really working on resetting the nervous system, getting like the inner workings of, you know, of your body aligned and in tune while still going and working on the face and saying like, hey, this is where we want everything to be, and getting it all leveled out, you know, moving out any of those stagnant areas, all of that kind of stuff. Like it's really neat. It's really, really neat.
That is amazing that it can do all that. So tell me, I've seen videos of what it looks like. And for people who've never heard of this or seen it, like tell us a little bit about what it actually is, like when you're actually doing it.
Okay. So with the process, so I start off initially with opening up the lymphatic passages. So we just do some pumping techniques that are on like in the armpits, up on kind of like the neck, around the ears, and on the chest. So that helps with just kind of, you know, gearing the body up and saying like, hey, we're about to do some work. Like, let's open up the floodgates basically. So everything can like, you know, flow nice and smooth throughout the body. Then we follow with doing the external maneuvers, which we would just, you know, consider massage, quote unquote. But again, like, sorry for saying that. So then, yeah, so we go and do like an, what I call external massage. So it's like what we're all used to of just working on the outside of the face. And a lot of it is repetitive movement. So we're just sitting here telling the body over and over again to like, come up in here, you know, go in this direction. And it's very rhythmic and like almost a little like meditative, you know, like I did one last night and I ran about 15 minutes over because even as the practitioner, I get into it and then I start to like zone out and I'm just like, oh, I'm like flowing on, you know, having a good old time. It's like, sorry, I hope you're not trying to rush home. Like I kind of got a little lost here. It's like grooving. So we start with that with the face, and then we put some gloves on and we actually do work inside the mouth. So if anybody has had head injuries and gone to PT, they, you know, they're probably familiar with the term of like a buccal massage or buccal adjustment, any of that kind of stuff. This is going to be a little bit different. You know, with PT, they're obviously going to be a little more aggressive with things. But this one, again, is like gently reminding the body of like, hey, it's okay. You can let go here. You know, like you can relax kind of thing. So we put gloves on, we stick a couple fingers in the mouth, and then start working all of those muscles that are basically from the cheekbone to the chin. So you can get all of that stuff in through there where you can actually pinch on either side and start to like rub it and relax it and get things to release and let go. And what really like made me so fascinated with this, when you start thinking about it, where else in the body can you grab a single muscle on either side? You can't. You can't.
That is so interesting. Yes. I was thinking that when you were describing that, I was like, where else can you do that?
You can't. So yeah, it's nice to be able to get in there and like really work all that stuff out. And another big piece of this that I have absolutely fallen in love with that, like, I think we talked about in the first podcast was just like the psycho-emotional factor of it as well. Did we touch on that? I can't remember.
Honestly, I don't think we did. We did. Yeah.
So that's one thing that I really has like, I think kind of brought it for me to where I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Like, not only are we working on like the health aspect, right? Of getting like the body line, like in tune, lined out, we're going into a relaxed state with the nervous system. We're flushing out all of the stagnation and adhesions and like all that kind of stuff. But then when you start looking at the face itself, so let's say you have somebody that has had a lot of like disdain going on in their life and a lot of disapproval and a lot of things that they just have not really been happy with, and that they have not, they internalize it, right? They keep it in. You're going to see usually mirroring outlines with those people because they're kind of, you know, so you'll see a lot of those guys going on. So you start looking at that and it kind of plays into like the face reading, or, you know, you see your happy people with the, you know, crow's feet and they're like, oh, I hate my crow's feet. And it's like, well, but that's a sign that you smile a lot. Like, it's not the worst thing. Like, those are usually some like a little happier people, that kind of stuff, you know? So when you start to work on that sort of stuff, it actually releases a lot of those stored emotions. So when you have people that have had like years of trauma or years of stored emotion, like things that they are not releasing, letting go, having that fluidity, when you get that muscle to finally like drop out, you will see it physically where they're like, oh, I look younger and that line isn't there so much anymore, but it also releases the emotion. So I have had some people where they're on the table and they will have like a full emotional release. Other people, they'll let me know the next visit, they're like, I got in the car and was just bawling my eyes out. They're like, but in a good way, you know, it was like that thing that you just like a shower cry, you know, where you need to just like get it out. I'm like, this is awesome. Like, how cool is this that it works on every single aspect? And then on top of it, their friends are like, oh, are you using a new serum? Your skin looks great. You know? So it's it's really neat to be able to hit it from all of those aspects. So that was something too, like the reason that I decided to study with Yakov. He's one of the people that is like more of a founder of this type of technique, but he also really makes an emphasis of how important it is to recognize that there is that emotional factor that's going on. And it's part of the reason why I ended up, you know, like running over yesterday, because you do allow yourself to just like, you turn the lights down, the music up, you nook in, and you guys go into a nice little flow together for a full 90 minutes, it's an hour and a half that you're in there just cruising along doing this kind of stuff. So it's pretty cool. It's really neat.
I was going to ask you how long it is. And I love that because that's such a Eastern way of thinking of things too, like having your emotions and, you know, things that you're holding on to come up and like you'd be able to see them and like be physically there. And I had a face reader on one of my episodes, and we talked about this too. She's, you know, in Eastern medicine and does face reading. And it's so interesting and I actually had a reading and it was like, oh, this came up and she could see something that was physically on my face and be like, did this happen to you? Or is this an experience that you had? And I was like, isn't that so incredible? I'll link that episode too, because she was so amazing, but it's really fascinating. Pardon?
Oh, I was going to say that stuff's a trip. Like
for
my education, we literally just like, we had like an introduction to it of like, oh, here's an overview of face reading. Here's who you can go to. You know, here's a couple of resources if you want to learn more. So like, I know some of it, but for people that really know that kind of stuff, it's almost scary. Like, you know, like I had a few of them in my school, a few teachers, and like, you'd kind of walk around I'm not giving you permission to read what's been going on in my life. Like, get out of here. Don't look at me, you know?
Oh my gosh. I love it. I think it's so amazing how this has so many benefits. Like a lot of times you go in for a facial or, you know, some type of treatment to work on some things that you don't, maybe concerns that you have. It doesn't go this deep. like this is something that just hits on so many different levels. And I think you had mentioned before, this can not only help with, you know, we can talk about more of what it helps with, but we were even talking about before we started recording, like it can help with like TMJ or tell us some other conditions that people might have. And, you know, it's not all like, hey, I want to look younger. There's so much more to this. So tell us a few other things that it can be helpful for.
I mean, TMJ is definitely going to be one of the big ones. And then also looking at just like muscle tension throughout the face. So if people are getting like headaches, migraines, like that kind of stuff, if it's more tension related, like obviously we have to, you know, you got to have a conversation and discern that sort of thing. We don't want to send too much energy up either and cause that. But yeah, there's a lot of different stuff that it can help with. But it definitely is like geared mostly into that like tendinomuscular pain management, like that kind of stuff. And that's where like I'll do a little bit of an overlap with the acupuncture facials versus the sculptural facelifting, finding out what my patient's coming in for, what they're experiencing. But again, kind of like overlapping between emotional states, you know, physically manifesting in the body. Who has TMJ that is like chill with everything, right? Like if you have TMJ, there is something that's going on that's stressing you out in one way or another, you know, and there might be a different emotion that you can attach to other than stress, but like, there's a reason why we're clenching up and through this area. So again, that's what's just really nice with being able to work on that psycho-emotional aspect, throw them on some herbs maybe. And with any of these treatments, I always do like a full intake initially so that I actually get to know the person and get to know like what's going on. And we do talk about emotions. We do talk about their life. And, you know, you obviously have to find the fine line of like, I'm not your therapist, but like, fill me in, you know, like I want to know what's going on. It's actually going to help with gearing the treatment in the right direction.
So, oh, I love that.
Yeah.
You can really customize it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So depending on what's going on, you know, if it's something that has more of like a posterior kind of neck thing going, a lot of times, especially with the 90-minute visits, why I like them so much is that it gives me time that if I want to start them face down, I can. It gives me time to actually be able to do a back treatment. I can do cupping on their back, do some like actual full manipulate, you know, muscular manipulation through there, get all that stuff to drop out. Because especially a lot of us women, like, you know, I love this saying, it always just sat with me. A lot of us will have like the shoulder tension, neck tension, that kind of stuff. And I forget who it was that was like, oh yeah, because you feel like you have the weight of the world on your shoulders. I'm like, oh, I like that. Like, yeah, yes, that's exactly, that's exactly it. So a lot of us women have that, you know? So it's nice to be able to work on the back and like take some of that weight off and then see what that already does with helping with the face and the flow and all that kind of stuff. Then you flip them over and work on the face and get all that stuff released.
That's so cool. When I first started my wellness journey, I had already been in the skincare industry for years, working on client skin and as an educator for multiple skincare brands. When I learned about how the toxins in our personal care and beauty products could have a negative impact on our health, I knew I needed to make a change. I was used to the result-driven products that I was working with, and I was not happy with the natural products on the market at that time. Although they were safer and cleaner, they did not meet my expectations for results. I created Simply Just Skincare to deliver the results my clients demanded from their products while using natural, toxin-free ingredients. You can check out my clients' results and reviews on my website, simplyjustskincare.com. In 30 days, my clients have reported more hydrated skin, less appearance of fine lines and wrinkles, and more of an overall glow. Our top sellers include our repair toner, our hydrating undo serum with hyaluronic acid, and more. I am offering my listeners 20% off their first order with code PODCAST. Check it out in the link in my show notes to get glowing today. I feel like, you know, one of the things, I was just a guest on a podcast and one of the questions she asked me was about like, what's the difference between holistic skincare and natural skincare? And I was like, well, it's not like versus, it's like, and, right? Like what you're talking about with your treatments and how you treat your clients and your patients is you are treating holistically. It's not just like one spot. You don't just do this one thing for this one area. You know, a lot of times, especially with Eastern medicine, things are stagnant. You know, we need to move the energy and we need to move the lymph and all of that. And that's not something that we really ever talk about in the West, you know, when you're going to get a facial. I mean, obviously massage helps with moving lymph and all of that, which is great. But I think even when you think of other skin conditions like acne, and this is what came up with holistic skincare for me, was when someone has such a severe case of acne, it's never just, in my opinion, just be happy with taking a cream home. Like, why is there so much acne? Like, what is going on? What is causing this breakout? And I know that you can probably talk to this a little bit, like with people who have had acne. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of stagnation and things that need to be detoxed, but can you talk more about acne?
Oh, absolutely. I love talking about acne.
Oh, good.
So there's actually, what I love with Chinese medicine is that, and I'm sure there's other, you know, alternative medicines out there with this too, but we have different types of acne. And I know, you know, on Western side, they'll show like cystic and blah, blah, and all that kind of stuff, but we will break them down into all these tiny little bits and pieces. So you have like yin type of acne and yang type of acne. So for those that aren't familiar with that, yin and yang, you know, our lovely little, you know, the black and white symbol that does the little thing in there. So that's a basic principle in Chinese medicine. Yin being more of like encompassing the principles of like nighttime or stillness, darkness, like that kind of stuff. And yang being more of like bright, light, movement, all that kind of thing. And hot and cold between the two also. Mm-hmm. So when you have a yin type acne, that's going to be the one that tends to be more of like it's not going to be hot and red on the face. It'll be more of like those bumps that never fully express and is like, I mean, kind of cystic in a way, because right, it's not the redness that's coming up. So it's a lot of that, like, you know, for lack of better words, very pussy, deep, stuck in there kind of stuff. And then more of the yang type acne is when you have that, like, typically what we see more with like teenagers, where it's like a lot of that red, hot, expressive, things are constantly moving, coming out, like that kind of thing. So we get to discern between those two and then go from there. Like, what else is happening inside the body? What other symptoms are you experiencing with what's going on? And then you treat from that and you go on, you know, I mean, I know a lot of people now are like, which I'm like so happy. Like when I learned this stuff and I hate to use this term, but everybody's catching on, where I'm just like, yes, the gut. Thank you. Like that is such a huge thing when it comes to skincare, making sure that your tummy is balanced with everything and like what you're eating and having that correlation between the two of them, that's going to play a huge role in how your skin is doing. But there's a lot of other factors too. The nice thing is that, again, going back to the gut, you can control those factors or, you know, either hinder or help those factors depending on what you eat. So I personally always go back to the gut when it comes to skin stuff, because if you're, you know, let's say you're experiencing like vivid dreams, insomnia, anxiety, and you have this like hot red acne, right? So these are all like heat symptoms or yang type symptoms that we see, but your favorite food is serrano peppers, spicy stuff. You know, you go to Del Taco and you put like 20 Del Scorchos on each taco you're eating. You know, it's like, we're not doing any favors here, you know? So it doesn't matter how many or how much herbs you're taking, how often you're coming in for acupuncture, like we are working against, it's an uphill battle. So you have to make sure that we're fostering that kind of stuff. And like, even speaking from personal experience, like I was one of those people into my 20s, I was still getting acne. And mine was a little bit more of a yin type acne, and it would like, you know, pop up every so often. I would still get like the little pustules that would express, but it would be maybe like one a day kind of thing. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, okay, like I'm not a teenager anymore. This is annoying. Like what the heck is going on? This is stupid. So I go into acupuncture school, start talking to my teacher, and I'm thinking that I'm doing all the right things, right? So start talking to one of my teachers, and he's like, well, what are you doing for breakfast? Like, how are you starting your day? And I'm like, well, I'll have a glass of orange juice and I'll have a smoothie, and you know, usually that'll be it for like a few hours. Then maybe I'll have a salad a little bit later. And then, you know, for dinner, you know, hot meal with protein and veggies and that kind of stuff. So I'm thinking I'm like crushing it, right? Right. Not too bad. And like, everybody's probably sitting here listening to this, like, yeah, Court, not too shabby. But when you look at it, I had a yin type acne. I was dumping a bunch of cold raw food into my gut first thing in the morning. So it's the same thing as that person with the hot type acne eating spicy stuff. I was eating too much cooling stuff. And he kind of chuckles and looks at me. And then I had phlegm. So oddly enough, like juices, I love a good glass of orange juice or grapefruit juice. Like I still do, but you have to taper it. You can't have this be every single morning. They actually produce a lot of phlegm. And if you start to pay attention to your body and you wake up without any phlegm, take a swig of orange juice, you will notice that there will be a little bit of phlegm that starts to happen. And that goes throughout the whole system. So I'm dumping cold and I'm dumping phlegm. And of course I have cold phlegm acne that's popping up. So he tells me, he goes, why don't you cut out the juice and cut out the smoothies just for like a month? And I was like, what are you talking about? Like you're crazy. No, they're great. He's like, just try it. Just experiment. 30 days, no smoothies, no juice. Start off with something hot in the morning. Start off with some tea. That kind of thing. I'm like, all right, sure, I'll do it. What happened in 30 days? My skin
no acne.
Super clear. No acne. Yeah, it's just like, well, okay. So there's that. So it definitely, and I wasn't doing anything else different. I wasn't taking herbs. I wasn't going and getting acupuncture, even though I was in school for it, you know, like maybe one treatment here and there, but I wasn't like hitting it heavy. It literally was just cutting out consistent smoothies and juice first thing in the morning and starting off with something hot in the morning. That was it.
Oh my gosh, that is so wild. You were the first person, you know, I had heard this before because I've done acupuncture throughout my life and it's really helped me. And I've had a lot of different issues that I've had to go for. But there was one thing that it was just so hard for me to give up, and that was cold drinks. And when we talked the last year, like a year, it's been over a year since we had our first conversation. And I remember just thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to give up my cold stuff? Because obviously I don't know. Does that mean I must be yin if I like all the cold stuff, or maybe I'm not and I shouldn't be, I don't know. But I know most people shouldn't be waking up and having like ice water. Nobody.
Sorry, nobody. And for the audience, I'm pregnant right now and my stomach's been all funky. And that's literally been the one thing I can drink is ice water. And every time I take a sip, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I'll fix this when it gets here. Okay. It's the only thing that goes down. But no, nobody should be having ice water, especially first thing in the morning. Like the way that Chinese medicine looks at our gut is a simmering pot of water. And you want to always keep it hot and moist to where there's just like that, you know, it's simmering pot of water. So if you wake up first thing in the morning and, you know, you were in a yin state while you were sleeping, now we're going into the yang state. It's transferring into yang type. It's daytime. We're arising, right? It's kind of coming up to a nice little bubble, and you take ice and you throw that into the pot of water. Then all of a sudden your digestion is going to be screwed for the rest of the day. So even if you're eating an excellent diet, it still is going to affect how you actually metabolize that and how you are able to like make use of the nutrients that you're eating, you know? So like I was saying, like I wasn't eating bad when I was in school. I wasn't eating bad at all. I had a pretty balanced diet according to, you know, the Western way of looking at foods. I'd get a gold star, but it's the temperature of foods and the type of foods. It's that cold, raw stuff. And especially for women, you know, like we tend to be more depleted. We bleed every month. Like we lose a lot of stuff. So we tend to be the ones that either we would call yang deficient or yin prominent. So yeah, like really the only people that can handle like these juice cleanses, oh my God, they kill me. Don't do a juice cleanse. Those kind of things, you know, those just like break my heart when I hear people saying they're going to do a juice cleanse, especially when you have women that are more like a very lean type and they're like, oh, I just want to get those last 5 pounds off or my tummy's off or whatever. I'm like, this is going to screw up your tummy even more. The only people that can handle those are your Santa Claus men. Like that's it. And those are the people that you'll see that are, you know, they have their Instagrams and stuff and they're like, oh yeah, I did this juice cleanse and now I'm doing great and blah, blah, blah. And it like turned their psoriasis around and they had, you know, arthritis and they had all this stuff and blah, because they had all these like hot type stagnations that were going on. They finally started dumping a bunch of cold stuff into it. So like, yeah, that makes sense. But eventually they're going to flip into the other direction and get to where things are going to start to pop up again if they keep it up.
That's really good. That's a good tip. I know. I wish I could go back in time and tell myself not to do the juice cleanse. I did do one. I was really hungry. That's all I know. They're like, you'll be fine. You're not that hungry. It's 4 juices. I'm like, I disagree.
4.
I'm hungry. So thank you for reminding me that I do not use ice in my water anymore. I know. That's a big deal. Like this podcast, I'm telling you, it's made me give up a few things, but it's all for the best. So
good you feel, then it's like, that's what I always tell people. I'm like, listen, we're going to experiment. Nothing is permanent. You don't have to do this the rest of your life. This is literally, let's just play around and see what happens. Be curious about it. Right. Yes. And then that way, let's say drinking is one of them that I work with a lot of people on, like, let's just slowly see if we can kind of play around with how much booze we're consuming here and start to dumb that down a little bit, you know. But I tell them, be curious, just try things. Like, let's aim for 30 days. But hey, if you have a night out, if it's your birthday, whatever, then who cares? Like, we're just trying stuff. You know, this isn't some regimented, hardcore, you know, feel shame if you screw up kind of thing. Like, no, let's just play around and see. And what I love is that, like, it gives people that freedom and ability to feel open to actually trying it. It's not as scary to try it. And even if they make it like a week of doing no ice drinks, no alcohol, you know, no coffee on an empty stomach, like any of that kind of stuff, when they go back to it and they have that slip up, they start to notice. And it literally will, it'll just be like that much where they'll go, you know, that kind of, I just didn't feel quite as good as I had been. And then they experiment with it a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And so you get to a point that, like, you know, we chuckle and say, yeah, you give up some stuff. And maybe some people will be like, I don't want to give up anything. It's like, but you don't miss it, you know? And then maybe every so often you'll have it and then you pay for it the next day and you know why. And it's not a mystery as to why you have these symptoms and it's not scary. And you're wondering like, oh, I'm getting older. I'm dying. I'm 30. And so that means everything's going to fall apart. It's like, no, you just have some habits that you thought were good and they're not. And you've been doing them for probably about, you know, I don't know, 15, 18, maybe even 20 years, something like that, you know, or possibly even your whole life, depending on how you were raised. So like, that stuff adds up. So you just play around with it.
And then you get kind of more interested in the good feeling than the thing that you cut out, you know, and feeling good and having energy and all that. And I know this is not totally off topic because it has to do with healthy digestion. So I think it's important to ask, but so you're in acupuncture school and you stopped doing the smoothies. Mm-hmm. So what did you do instead? Like what, and like, give us some ideas, like from not just like from the digestion, from the Eastern way mm-hmm. of thinking of things, because I had a smoothie this morning mm-hmm. and I'm a big fan of smoothies. I actually am sensitive to eggs, so I can't eat eggs. Yeah. And I'm off dairy. So I'm like, what do I have left to eat beyond air? So like, help us with some healthy ideas. And of course, eggs can be one, but like whatever, tell us what you did and tell us what you think are some like better options, because I think we all need to work on our digestion. And back to, you know, to the acne. If we don't have that, I know that so many of my clients with acne or their kids, I have clients who have teenagers who have acne. I know it's because of a lot of stuff that's going on with digestion.
Yeah, absolutely. So some tips in short, the easiest one is just have dinner for breakfast. Mm. Like most of us tend to have a hot meal, you know, so that would work perfectly fine. Doing something like that, just flip it. If you like to have, like I have a lot of people that, you know, they're into the intermittent fasting thing, which again is especially women. I'm like, don't intermittent fast in the morning, intermittent fast at night if you're going to do that. But eat breakfast. If you title the podcast Eat Breakfast for this one, do me a favor. Please, people, eat breakfast. So if you're one of those people that's like, oh, I haven't had breakfast in 20 years or something like that, you know, then start off with just bone broth, something really simple like that, or even like a meat stock or anything like that. Something that's going to be hearty, that's protein rich and is warm. So those will be a really easy thing. Like it's just liquid, you know, you're basically having a tea, but it just is like a protein rich tea instead of like an herbal tea. That's going to be a really great way to start easing your digestion into like waking up and being hungry again. And then since you're having something with protein in it, it's going to last longer throughout the day. So obviously, you know, bone broth is not something that's going to hold you over for a long time. It's, you know, it's still very a light thing, but I always have everybody start there if they haven't been a breakfast eater, like start with that and we'll work up from there. So then once we get to a point where they're like, okay, like, yes, I'm actually waking up in the morning. I'm feeling the desire to have a little bit more than just bone broth. Okay, cool. Now you can make it an egg drop. So for those of us that can do that, right? So if you don't know how to do an egg drop, it's really simple. You just take a bowl, you whisk an egg into it, and then you like stir the stock around while it's on the pot and is simmering, and then just slowly pour little bits of egg in there and it cooks it really nice. You get these beautiful little ribbons of egg in your stock. So now you're having a little more protein, something that's a little bit heartier. Then you can start adding vegetables into it and doing that kind of thing. So it can get to where you're having like a nice hearty cup of soup first thing in the morning. Or if you are a breakfast eater, but you're just eating something that's like, you know, not suiting you, steak and eggs. I'm all about steak and eggs. Go for the heavy protein stuff. Like, don't be afraid of it. that definitely is a great way to start the day, and it'll hold you over and keep your blood sugar level throughout the day too. And just like a note on that, and kind of like with the juices and that kind of stuff, like I work with a functional nutritionist in our office as well. And she and I will like go on rants together about how many people, men and women, still are doing the calorie cutting kind of thing. And they think if they are in a deficit, then they're going to be doing better in this kind of stuff. And it is so the contrary. Like if you're eating, you can eat a lot. You can eat a lot of food in one day. You just have to pick the right stuff and you won't be gaining weight. Like you actually will be gaining muscle mass. You'll be getting energy. You'll be feeling really good. You want to start off with something hearty first thing in the morning. And as far as like when I was in school, oddly enough, I did a lot of oats first thing in the morning, which now I tell people not to do. Because again, that's going to be something that's more carbs. It transfers into sugars really quickly. You burn through it really fast. You get a spike and a drop in the blood sugar. So it doesn't hold you over for quite as long. But something's better than nothing. So, you know, for anybody that's like, I hate breakfast. My stomach hurts when I wake up in the morning. I don't want anything to eat. You know, if that means that oatmeal is the only thing that sounds good, then just start with that. Who cares? Like we can fine tune as we go along the way, but just like get your body going first thing in the morning.
But then at least it's warm. Yeah.
Yes.
At least the oatmeal's warm. Yeah.
Yes. And I would do like a hot tea, whether it was like ginger tea or goji berry is another really good one, especially for women, because it does help with building blood. Or you can do like red jujube, any of that kind of stuff. You know, you just pour hot water over it, get it in one of those little canisters. It soaks throughout the day. And so you're having something that's building blood, moving digestion, getting things going. And then, yeah. And then, you know, your chia puddings and that kind of stuff. Just make sure it's warm, just warm stuff.
I love these tips so much. Like, I'm so excited. And goji berry tea, I'm so going to make that.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, I've got all sorts of little teas that are fun.
Okay. I'm going to be messaging you for more ideas. But this is so good. This is so helpful, too, because this goes back to – it's just this big circle. And these tips, it's huge. Even for what I know and what I've learned, especially having – I think I've had – 3 acupuncturists on my show. I know what I need to do in the morning, and I have improved. I'm not like fully there yet, but I feel like, especially because I have some work to do with my digestion, like these are really, really good tips. These are important. So just to kind of go back to the aging gracefully topic cosmetically, I want to talk about one of the things we kind of touched on last time, which is some people are doing fillers and injections to sort of achieve some of these results that we can get with the work that you do. Maybe you could give us a little, like a brief idea of why they should think about that if they're, you know, concerned with their health. Because one thing that you say is that you go into your treatment room and there's a lot of different things we're working on. It's it's all helping to move lymph. It's all helping to move energy. It's like only positive side effects. So these other things that women are doing and a lot of people are doing, like even I've heard people like inject Botox in their lips so that it kind of flips up and lifts up and things like that. Give us your thoughts on that and maybe what to think about.
Yeah. So things to think about. So especially with Botox, it's a neurotoxin. So it's one of those things that like, I think that for me, learning that already was like the first kind of red flag that I got, where I was like, wait a minute, it's something that's toxic to my nervous system and I'm injecting it into my face. Like, let's just take a pause and like think about that for a second, right? And then the whole purpose of Botox is to kill the nerve receptor to the muscle that tells the muscle to move, to make an expression. So that was enough for me to kind of draw a conclusion for myself that I was just like, this doesn't really seem like something that I personally want to do. And, you know, I always like to preface this conversation with like zero judgment. I have patients that do come in that have had facelifts. They still continue to get Botox. Some of them still continue to get fillers. We'll work around it, any of that kind of stuff. Like I support everybody in whatever journey you want to go on. Again, this is, you know, my specialty is the one that is to not do that. So anyway, disclaimer. But yeah, that for me was like a kind of like a, just like, yeah, red flag where I was like, I just don't know about this. Then you start to dive a little deeper with it. And I honestly still haven't even done like an ultra deep dive into Botox because for me, I'm already pretty settled enough at that point, you know, so I'm not too curious about much of it, but even scratching the surface, you start looking at stuff and seeing, you know, some of the side effects and some of those kind of things. And it, you know, it does come with a warning label. Like there are possibilities of having, you know, like nerve damage, people that have been having, you know, issues after getting Botox with how their face is functioning, or they're getting pain, or maybe they got too much. I actually had one client that came in because she didn't like the way that it looked. So we went in there and tried to get it out of there as fast as possible. But then another thing for me, again, with just thinking logically and not, you know, reading tons of studies and that kind of stuff, it wears off. So what does that tell you? That tells you that the body is metabolizing it. So some way or another, your body is fully absorbing this stuff and it's sending it somewhere to get it hopefully out of the body. I have been hearing that there's been more studies about it showing up in nervous system tissue. So again, that's, you know, not anything I've done like a massive deep dive on, but just stuff to be wary of. And I know for some people, you know, they'll use it for non-cosmetic concerns, you know, with like if they're having like migraines or like tinnitus or like any of that kind of stuff, it can definitely help with that. But if you do have those things, I still would encourage you to go to acupuncture, because I actually like headaches and migraines are one of my favorite things to treat. And I've gotten people off of medications and they're living a normal life without taking anything and able, you know, they're headache and migraine free. So there are options that are out there for that kind of stuff. It just takes longer, you know, Botox is the quick fix. So I think that's why it's so appealing to a lot of people, is because that's like one of the major differences, right? Like you go to Botox, what does it take? Like 3 days, something like that, 2-3 days to where it finally like takes full effect. And then you're like, oh, okay, we're good. I have the look that I'm going for, or like don't have my migraines, whatever, like any of that kind of stuff. Whereas this is something that is done in a series. It's consistent. You know, we were talking about the gym earlier. I always like to say that like this type of treatment is taking your face to the gym. So, you know, if you go to the gym once a month, sure, that's going to help. But if you go weekly, that's going to help even more. You know, so it just depends on how much and what are you doing at home too. So yeah, it is. I'd say that's just like the big thing that like makes Botox such a shiny package to go to, is because it's like, oh, cool. Like I don't have much time to do things. So I'm just going to go ahead and do this really quick. And then I'm good for another 6 months, move on, do that instead of having to come in consistently. But to me, I think it's worth the investment to be coming in more consistent, and you have all these other things, you know, that like, I'll never forget. I had one patient who, very busy mom, and she was noticing, she's like, yeah, I feel like life is just easier. The kids don't stress me out as much. The schedule doesn't stress me out as much. I feel like I can just manage my life a lot more, and I'm finding more like enjoyment in my life. So she was the first one to notice it. Then her husband was the one that started noticing it. Then the holidays hit. Right. So then everything goes like it just gets crazy with everything. So she, you know, had a little bit of time off, and I get a call from her, a text from her, and she's like, it's time. I need you. The husband's saying that I need to go in. That was like the biggest compliment, that like she wasn't even the one. It was literally her husband that was like, go back and see her. Like everything's just easy. Like the house is just easier, like with this kind of thing. So to me, that's worth it, you know, worth the investment with that. But yeah, I don't know. The toxin stuff just makes me weary. And we don't, it's new when you really think about it. So we don't have years and years and years and years of data to see what the long-term effects are. And then kind of going back to that like muscle and fascia piece of this, that when you are killing the nerve to the muscle, that means the muscle's just sitting there. So that's the whole point, right? We want it to sit there and lay flat. I'm trying to get it to lay flat by getting it nice and gooey and nourished and that kind of stuff. They're getting it to lay flat by not allowing it to move. So after a while, if something sits there not moving, what happens? Like, right? If you break a leg, what happens to that leg? It gets really freaking skinny, doesn't it? It just like atrophies away. So the same thing's going to happen in your face. So the muscle will start to get less nourishment going to the area. It's going to get thinner. It's going to get tighter. It's going to start to pull together and will more quickly, for lack of better terms, start to resemble beef jerky. So, and then it pulls the skin with it. So that means you're going to have to be going and getting more Botox more frequently, which you see, like they'll tell you, you know, okay, you're going to come in every 8 months. Now it's going to be every 6 months. Now it's every 4 months, you know, you're going to be dependent on this stuff because eventually that's, you know, you're going to need it in order to maintain that look that you're going for. Whereas like with this kind of thing, again, like I get people on a series, we get you in a happy spot, then we just do like monthly maintenance unless you want to come in more frequently. Just kind of depends.
I love how you can also like come in for whatever you're treating that day. But you, I mean, when I remember getting my, and it was just like, whatever the time was, 20, 30 minutes, it was like I was just able to take a nap or really relax. Like I felt like I had a massage when I left acupuncture. So there's so many things that you're also treating. You're helping with your stress, like the mom that you see, and just so many other things that really just help our overall wellness, that just adds positivity to our wellness and health instead of taking anything away. So Courtney, you know, I love you. You are amazing. So thank you. Thank you for coming back and sharing this with us.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. So tell us where we can find you. I know that you're pregnant, so you're going to be on a leave, but tell us where you are and where we can find you and on Instagram and all that good stuff.
Yes. So you can find me, Instagram and website are both Courtney Rose Acupuncture. And that's spelled O-G-way with a C, not the K. Yes, that'd be the best way. And then, yes, I am going to be taking leave for a little while, but I do have an amazing temp. We were talking about her a little earlier before we started recording, but she's a cosmetologist and an acupuncturist. So I just like hit the jackpot with this girl. I'm so excited to have her come in. So yeah, she knows a ton, and she obviously is how we are with everything, where she wants everything to be super clean and holistic and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, really excited to have her in. So the business will still be running. It'll just be on a, you know, more of a maintenance pace than anything, but she is accepting new patients. So if anybody new does want to come in, that's definitely an option.
Okay. I'll link all this stuff in the show notes, and thank you again for being here. It was amazing.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Please subscribe and review so we can reach more people who want to learn to glow alongside us. See you next time.